This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. In our first reading, we have this curious passage. It seems curious if you don't know the context of what's going on. Prophet Isaiah goes to Ahaz, says, "Ask for a sign." He says, "No." Why wouldn't you want it? He's offering. And then the prophet gets a little upset and says, "Hey, why are you tiring us all out? You're tiring people and God. And here's your sign. I know you don't want it, but you're going to get it anyways. A virgin will conceive and bear a son," and we know how it goes. "His name will be Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Okay, let's put some context around that so you'll understand what's going on there. It seems kind of random if you just take the little piece we had there. King Ahaz was the king of Judah in Jerusalem. This is a time when all the people of Israel was split into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom, which was the vast majority of all the people, and then the southern kingdom was just the tribe of Judah centered around Jerusalem. Just imagine times of civil war here in the U.S. We had two capitals, and so it's divided like that. And right now, Ahaz is facing down an attack from the north, their brothers in the north, who have teamed up with another army, and they're about to besiege Jerusalem. So we're in a pretty dramatic moment right here. Ahaz himself has not been a good king. He has not been faithful. He has not supported the practice of faith. So he's already kind of on a downward slide. And he knows that his life is at stake in this moment, and that of his family. If the northern army wins and takes over, you know what happens to kings who get beat. They don't just get set aside and they can go off and live in peace somewhere else. No, that's the end of the line. He knows that. So Isaiah goes to Ahaz prior to the siege and tells him, "Don't worry about these other armies. God is going to take care of them. Just trust in God." He said, "No, I'd rather, you know, we got the Assyrians over here. I think we can make good friends with them. I'll ask them to come in and we'll be able to." I mean, that's a sure path forward in order to get out of this bond. And Isaiah said, "No, trust in God. Don't trust this other, it's not going to work out well for you long term." And that's when Isaiah says, "Tell you what, ask for a sign. If I give you a sign, something miraculous, well then now you've got something to hang your faith on." And Ahaz responds, no, I don't want to tempt God." That's his excuse. Well, that's not the problem. He doesn't want to have to trust God. That's what the problem is. Because if he trusts God, well, then he's got to allow this army to attack, and he's just going to, with his small forces there in Jerusalem, hope it works out okay and hope that God shows up on time and does something in order to save him. He's not used to leaning on God for anything. That's not part of his modus operandi. Isaiah gets upset and says, are you going to just, okay, first of all, you're tiring out, wearing out all the people. Now you're doing it to God. Here's your sign. You're going to get it anyways. A virgin is going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. God is with us, not another army is with us. Starts to make sense then what the passage is. Anyways, he doesn't go along with what Isaiah is telling him. He doesn't listen to, okay, well, wait to see this sign. He goes ahead and forges the alliance with the Assyrians, and they do come in, and he's spared that much, but he eventually ends up becoming a vassal to the Assyrians, and he goes on this faith slide that went from bad down to worse and worse and worse, till in the end, what he does is he adopts all the Assyrian gods, goes into the temple of Jerusalem, puts up this big statue to the gods of the Assyrians in order to impress them, to curry more favor, and he just, it's like, he was so compromised. He just went from worse to worse to worse. Had he listened to Isaiah, he could have gone from stronger to stronger to stronger. Now let's contrast that with what we see happening in the gospel with Joseph. Joseph doesn't get a whole lot of airtime in Scripture, so we'll give it to him today. Mary is already conceived. It's likely, we don't know for sure, that she didn't have the tough conversation with Joseph until after she got back 6 months of having been away with her cousin Elizabeth down in the south. We don't know that for sure. It's a thought. But she comes back to back to Nazareth, and Joseph's there, and she is clearly expecting. They're already engaged. She was not expecting when she left, and Joseph knows that he was not involved in this. This is not a very good scenario. Now, we know that Mary is the Immaculate Conception. She would have been the purest, most attractive in the most holy kind of way, of just awestruck just to be in her presence kind of person. And so it's not adding up to Joseph. Like, well, I know what she's like, but she's pregnant. And if I do what I'm supposed to do by the law, she's going to get stoned to death. So he decides to dismiss her quietly. And then the angel comes along, and he has this dream. Joseph, don't be afraid. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the way the angel speaks to him, the way it comes up in the dream, it obviously wasn't just a normal dream that he just kind of, his mind is making this up. No, this was God sending him a message, and he knew it. And he acted on it. But what does this mean, though? This is going to be a major tarnish on his reputation, short term. Obviously, the murmuring that would have been around town, not only just about Mary, but also about Joseph. And supposing that, well, Joseph, gosh, I thought he was in, what, they weren't married yet, they were just engaged, and now Mary, and now he's taking her into his house. So obviously, what kind of losses is he going to have because of that? His own family, what's he going to do? Explain, oh no, it's okay. It's actually a miracle, and the Holy Spirit came down. That's why, right. How well is that going to go over? Are you going to be able to explain that to an angel in a dream told me that? Okay. That would just make it worse. Not only was he unfaithful, but he's also losing it. He really thinks that this happened. But he steps out on a limb and he trusts, even though he can't rely on his family, his friends, to back him up. And this pattern of this moment of listening to the dream and having something big happen positively because of it pays off later, because now, after Jesus' birth, they're in Bethlehem, he receives another dream. Get up now, go to Egypt, because Herod is coming to kill this child. And he gets up immediately and goes. Because he knows this is how it works. You do this and God's going to bless it. Be faithful to God's word, and God's going to bless it. So there's two principles here that we can draw out. First one is God knows how to speak to us. And not just in grand terms of he gave us the scripture. I mean, that too, yes. But individually, he knows how to communicate to us in a way that we're going to understand that this is coming from God. Joseph knew that this dream wasn't an ordinary dream. This was an angel appearing to him, and he followed it. Ahaz has a prophet coming to him and giving him this prophecy and this sign, and he knows this is God speaking to him, but he doesn't want to follow it because it's too risky. So just because he knows this is from the Lord doesn't mean you automatically follow it. That's a choice. It's up to us, not just to hear and listen, but then to follow. That's the first principle. God knows how to speak to us in a way we're going to understand that, yes, okay, I know now. And it's probably happened in moments to yourselves as well, where God, you just know, like if you explain it to anybody else, they'd say, yeah, it's just their imagination. But we know this is God. The second principle is God always blesses fidelity. This is a principle that we had fostered in us in the seminary. I'm a religious priest, and so we have a vow of obedience. And so a big part of our life is living that vow of obedience. And so this was one of the phrases that we learned just to kind of help to have that catchphrase in our head. And anytime there's a moment when God always blesses fidelity, even though it doesn't seem like it's going to make sense, and I've communicated that and I've cleared that, I know that God is going to bless me being faithful with something that doesn't seem to add up or is difficult. It seems like something's going to be lost, some good thing. I don't know, it could be any number of things. The odds could seem to be stacked against us if I go that path. But if we follow in obedience, in fidelity, and in faith, we're living a life of integrity. God always blesses that. And if instead we end up cutting a corner in some way, small way, medium, maybe large, we're start to doing what Ahaz did and start that slide that just starts to head downward. And there's something lesser that we receive from God. He's still there. He still helps, supports, and strengthens. But we just snip some part of it off. But as we follow in faith, and as the example of Joseph, in integrity, coherence, moral uprightness, righteousness, even though we know it's going to be costly, job, relationships, and fill in the blanks with any number of things, risky, we know that God will bless it. It'll be a blessing not just for ourselves, but all those around us, just as it was for Joseph. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.